Take our Bibles this morning to the book of Luke, chapter number 18. Luke, chapter number 18. On Sunday mornings, we've been going through the series in the book of Luke. And last week, we talked a little bit about prayer. We talked about how Jesus said to pray, to continue on prayer and not to faint. And it says they have men ought to always pray. And he gave that parable about the unjust judge. He gave the story about the widow lady that continued coming to him in prayer. We're going to talk a little bit more about prayer today. And the title of this morning's message is Approaching God. Approaching God. So we remember that series that Jesus, as we're going through the series, we watch Jesus and so we see how Jesus interacts with people and how Jesus responds to people. And here he's speaking to a large group. He had just talked to disciples and he said, men ought to always pray. And remember how he said you need to continue on praying and continue on praying and continue on praying. He gave the illustration in the parable that kind of said, hey, look, you should always be in an attitude of prayer, and it's something that you should continually do, because if not, you're going to faint. Now he turns and he looks at a different group of people. If you look in verse number 9, the Bible says that he begins to tell this parable, and he says, and he spake this parable unto, now look who it says, unto certain, he's talking about a group of people, which trusted in themselves that they were righteous. So he's talking to the group and he's telling the whole group, hey, okay, men ought to always pray. They must recognize they need God and they have a desire for God and that they are dependent upon God. And if you don't pray, you're going to faint. And then he turns to the group of people that probably thought and the group of people that probably prayed the most. And he said to the certain group, but look how he describes them. He describes them as a people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. And then there's another phrase after that, and he says, and despised others. So they were a self-righteous group. They believed and they trusted not in the Lord, not in what God had done for them. They had trusted in themselves that they were righteous. They were self-righteous. They trusted in themselves that they could be right with God based off of what they did. And then there's another guy that's introduced a little bit later on. You go down in verse number 10, it says, two men went up into the temple to pray. And then he describes the first one as a publican, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. So there's two men who approach God here. And what I'm interested in, if you go down to verse number 14, what I'm interested in today, he says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. There's two men that go into the temple to pray. There's two men that go to the house of God to approach God and to speak to God. And there is one who walks away justified. There's one who gets the help from God. And then there's one who doesn't. What I'm interested in today is approaching God, but approaching God in a way that will please him, in a way that he'll hear from us and he'll speak to us and he'll work in our hearts and lives. Two guys going to do the same thing, but do it completely different. This morning, we got to come to this realization that we need God. All across the world, whether today or in the last few days, there's probably millions, if not billions, of people that went and prayed to some type of God. They approach what they consider the one or the many gods that could help them. There is a number of people that go to churches and they approach and they want to pray God. They seek God's blessings. But the reality is, this truth that's told in this scripture is if we truly want God's help and we truly want God's blessing, there's a secret in here. And this morning as we look at the secret is that we need to pray humbly. Let's go ahead and we're going to read the whole passage of scripture and we're going to dive right into the sermon, Approaching God. The Bible says, and he spake this parable in verse number 9 to certain, talking about a group of people which trusted, which mean that their faith was in what? It was in themselves. Not only was their faith in themselves, they were having enough faith in themselves that they were righteous. Righteous meaning that they are correct. Righteous meaning that they are right with God. So they didn't have faith in what God had done for them, where God had brought them. Their faith was found in themselves and what they had done, and that made them right with God. But not only did they do that, it says, and despised others. Verse number 10, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. I like how it writes, it has written in verse number 10 where it says two men. know, these two guys are completely opposite. We're going to look at the two kinds of people. But in heaven's view, as these men entered into the temple, they are just two men. Their position in society does not matter. Their giving does not matter. They view them as two individuals, both in need of help from God. In verse number 11, then we get the description of how the Pharisee prayed. The Bible says, the Pharisee stood and prayed with thus himself. This is giving the idea that when he was praying, that no one else was listening, saying that God wasn't listening because he's praying unto himself because he has made himself into his own God. And he says, God, I thank thee. That's a good spot. I mean, you think about it. That's a good way to start a prayer. Enter into his presence with thanksgiving. He starts. If he would have stopped right there, he would have done a lot better than he finished up. It says, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. So he begins to compare himself to other people. And he says, look, I'm thankful I'm not like other people are. And then he begins to describe them. He says, like the extortioners, unjust, adulterers. Then he has the audacity to point over to the man that's standing kind of in the corner, wanting to be by himself, wanting to speak to God on his own, and says, even as this publican. Then he begins to tell God what he's been doing for him. In verse number 12, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. He begins to describe all those things that he did to try to earn favor with God and what made him special in front and how he should be accepted by God. Verse number 13, you're introduced to another character. The first one was the Pharisee who stood out in a preeminent spot, standing. Many times the Pharisees would hold their hands open wide and look up to heaven like this. Over here in a corner somewhere, off to themselves, it says in verse number 13, and the publican, standing afar off, not trying to be around other people, would not lift up so much as his eyes to heaven. He didn't feel like it was worthy of him to even look up to heaven, but smote upon his breast. And this idea, smote upon his breast, this is like a continual, he's hitting himself in the chest, smote upon his breast continually as he prays, because he realizes he needs God's help, and he realizes that he's a sinner, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Very short prayer, very right to the point. In verse number 14, he says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. On this page and in this story, most people would think that the Pharisee is the spiritually minded one. Most people would think what the Pharisee did was something that God would approve of and God would be excited about and that God would respond to. But the Bible says that Jesus said in this story, and that's what it was, a parable, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It said that this man got help from God where the other person didn't. In the rest of this verse, you see where the secret is. And it's not a very secret if you're a biblical person. It talks about humility and talks about pride. It says, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased. Saying, if anyone who is going to lift himself up in pride or think too highly of themselves, they will be brought low. But that last phrase, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Both these men approach God. Both these men enter into the house of God, seeking to God's help. One gets the help, one doesn't. Where's the difference at? One is filled with pride and one has humility. Let's have a word of prayer and then we'll dive right in. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, help us today. Lord, passages of scripture that many of us are familiar with, but many of us need to hear. Lord, speak to our hearts. Lord, we need to hear from you. Lord, help us to humbly submit to you and to your will. And Lord, decide to follow after you no matter what you say. Help us not to be like the Pharisee that's praying with himself, but instead, realizing who we are and who you are, we come and seek your mercy, we come and seek your grace, we come and seek your power to live the Christian life. In Jesus' name, amen. So, three pretty simple points today. The first point is the two kinds of people. the two kinds of people. He gives here an illustration in verse number 10. He says, look, there was a Pharisee that went, and there was a publican that went. As I mentioned earlier, the representation is, as you're approaching God, there is something that is equal all across. So we're men, we're women, we're human. We all have needs, and we all have a dependence upon God. But these two men, who couldn't have been more different, because the one was outwardly religious in town, the other was probably the most notable sinner in town. Let me say that again. The one, the Pharisee, would have been known as the outwardly religious leader in town. But the other one was probably noted as the worst sinner in town. One preacher, as I was looking at it, said that, hey, it's like comparing one of our chief justices on the Supreme Court to someone who is maybe a prostitute. It's like that type of thing. But I was thinking, you know, those chief justices, I wonder how many of them are really honorable too. But that's the whole different story. But you see the Pharisee. The Pharisee was known for many different things. The Pharisee was known for, as he bragged about, he was known for fasting twice a week. Now, was that a requirement? No, that wasn't a requirement. The Bible talks about in the law that they only had to fast once a year. There would be other times when people would fast to hear from God and to seek from God, but it became a ritual to them. I think it was every Monday and every Thursday that they had the fresh food that was out, and they would on purpose fast on those days, and they would walk around the marketplaces with things on their face to make them look sad. They would walk around in clothing that was wrinkled up, and just it would let everyone know around them that they were fasting. You see the story that we know in Matthew chapter 6 and also in other parts of Mark, where they describe how the Pharisees would pray. They would take up their hands and they would go like this, and they would speak out loud so that people could hear. So when the Pharisee was praying like this so everyone could hear, and he was saying something like this: God, I thank thee that I'm not like other as other men are. And he begins to say, like the extortioners and the unjust and the adulterers. And even as this publican, I can imagine he probably looked over at him. Then he starts saying, I fast twice in the week. And I give tithe of all my possessions or all my goods. And he's saying there, hey, God, look at me. Look at all the things I've done. Aren't you pleased with me? I'm not asking for your help. I just want you to recognize how good I am. But he's not saying that to himself. He's speaking out loud so others can hear. You say, Pastor, where do you see that in the passages of Scripture? Well, the Pharisees itself had talked about in other spots where they would speak loud and they would have long prayers and they would do things in public prayers so that way people would notice. He also talked about his tithing. Now, back then, the Pharisees would tithe everything, even of the herbs that grew in their garden. They would even go past the 10% of the law expected and go to 20 to 30% for the needs of the temple. But they did not do it like we would do it, in a way that is private between us and God. They would make sure that everyone knew, I am bringing this much and I am giving this much. They wanted the whole world to know what they gave and how they prayed and that they were fasting. They were living a life that made them look like they were super religious. They came to the temple that day, and they spoke to God. But the Bible says that man didn't get the help he needed. But who was the man that got the help he needed? Second person, you see two kinds of people. First, the Pharisees. You think about the publican, the other man that we heard that prayed that day. Now, the publican is someone who would have been a spiritual outcast. The publican not only would have been a spiritual outcast, he would have been known as a public enemy, in a sense. The publican was a tax collector. We've talked about different class of collectors. We looked in Luke chapter 19 already, and we talked about Zacchaeus being the chief of the publicans. Well, you say, what's wrong with being a tax collector? Well, during that day and time, the Jews were under the Roman government. They would even fly a flag that represented that they were under Roman bondage. And remember, the Jews are very prideful people. They never thought they were in bondage. You go and you listen to the stories, and you listen how they respond to Jesus. Oh, we've never been in bondage. We're of Abraham's seed. They did not think that they were really in bondage. They really thought that they belonged to God, and God would never allow them to be in bondage. But the Roman government, the guard was there. The Roman guards were always there. The flags was hanging, flying above their heads. They were angered about that. And then for one of the Jewish people to be a traitor and go to the Roman government and get a job as a tax collector meant they were despised. If there was a wicked sinner that lived in their midst, it would have been the publican. But not only that, they weren't even honest tax collectors, if there's a such thing. There wasn't even honest tax collectors. They would charge more than they were supposed to have, and they would become wealthy living off the things they stole from others. And when Jesus is telling this story, he's speaking about the one that was so high and so lifted up in the religious circles, people would look to them and they would be, wow, that is a great man of God. And then they would look at the worst of the sinners, the worst of the worst. Now, why would Jesus do this? You know, is he trying to embarrass the Pharisees? Is there a passage in Scripture that you see Jesus embarrassing the Pharisees for no reason? No. See, Jesus loves the Pharisee and the publican. Jesus loves the Pharisee and the publican, and they both came to the temple to pray. They both came seeking God's help. And when Jesus was talking to them earlier, talking about how men ought to always pray, the Pharisees would have said, well, I pray three times a week. I'm sorry, I pray three times a day. Of all the people here that do not need to hear that parable about the widow and the unjust judge, it would be me. I pray more than probably anybody else in this room. And Jesus wants to help. Jesus tells this parable and speaks this parable even in the presence of Pharisees to not try to get them angry, not to try to get them riled up, but to speak to their hearts and say, look, it's not about your position. It's not about the things that you do. It's about where you stand before God. And he says, if you're going to spend the time bragging about yourself in prayer and those three prayers a day that you did, and you would do long public prayers, he says, that were full with pride. You know what? God doesn't even hear that. I love how he put it in verse number 11. The Pharisee stood, and back then it was traditional for them to stand. You even see the publican standing. The Pharisee stood, and look what it says in verse number 11, and prayed thus with himself. He prayed thus with himself. That means that God was not going to hear his prayers, but God heard the prayer of the publican. So the first thing I want you to think is about the two kinds of people. The second thing I want you to think about is the two kinds of prayer. Both these men, the self-righteous Pharisee and the wicked publican, went to the temple to pray. When they opened their mouths, they began to speak. They called out to the same individual. They called out God, called out to God, but the character of their heart was put on display. First, you see the haughty prayer. When the Pharisee begins to pray, he is quick to tell the Lord how things really are. He begins to explain to him and brag about his righteousness. He begins to compare himself to other people. He even sees the publican praying nearby and talks about how much better a man than he is. He begins to brag about his religious works and about his giving. He tells the Lord how great he is and how well he's doing. He compares himself to others, but he feels that he has arrived in the Lord's eyes. Say, Pastor, there's something wrong with that. There is. And that's where we got to wonder, make sure that when we're approaching God and coming before God, we would not pray like that. But we must come to him with a humble heart. God, I need you. God, I desire you. God, I have to have you. Without you, God, I cannot do anything that's good. The Pharisee kept on saying, what? The Pharisee says, look at all the good things I've done. Look at all these things. This Pharisee is there and he's standing and he's praying all by himself. He's wasting his breath. And next on, you see the humble prayer. The publican does not offer any swelling words of self-glorification. He knows that he has nothing at all to offer to the Lord. He knows that he is a wicked sinner. When he prays, there is no pride, there is no pretense, there is no hint of self-righteousness. There are no attempts to justify himself or justify his lifestyle in the eyes of the Lord. He just tells the truth. And he humbles himself. And he says, God, have mercy on me. I can't help myself, Lord. I need your mercy. The Bible says he won't even lift up his eyes toward heaven. As he beats himself on the breast, he knows that his real problems are the problems of the heart. As the Pharisee, on the other hand, blissfully unaware that anything is wrong in his heart, his prayer is short and simple and to the point. I think we can learn a lot. Many times we maybe would never pray the same way this Pharisee did, but many times in our uplifted heart and in our uplifted state and our uplifted testimony and our uplifted selves, we think we're fine. We come to God and we begin to talk to God, not really recognizing the fact that we're sinners and that without God, none of these things would happen. We begin to think that we can do certain things in our own selves and certain things in our own works, even though John chapter 15, 5 tells us if we don't abide in Christ, that we can do nothing for him. But we begin to pray like that Pharisee. We begin to think like that Pharisee. And we begin to think so highly of ourselves that when we approach God, we think, God, you have got something good when you got me. Look at all the things I'm doing. Look at all the things I'm saying. Where God says, that type of approach to God is not going to accomplish anything. But when you see the prayer of the publican, the worst of the worst, is when he recognizes, hey, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that I need God's help. The third thing, I don't want you guys to think about the people and also the prayers. Think about the two kinds of prophets, how it profited them. Both these men went to the house of prayer. Both these men stood in the similar room where God had promised he would hear from his people. Both these men prayed, but the outcome was different for both these men. One got everything, one man got nothing. What happened to them has much to teach us. One man was received by God. You think about it, when it says in verse number 13, when he says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, he says in verse 14, I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. This man had been justified. He had believed. He had put his faith and trust in him. The Lord heard what that wicked, sinful, hated publican said. God heard this simple prayer, and God received him. His sins were forgiven, and he went to his house justified in the eyes of the Lord. We would say that man got saved. You say, oh, no, Pastor, he couldn't have got saved. He didn't say the sinner's prayer. A sinner's prayer does not save you. It's putting a faith and trust in Jesus Christ. This man in this simple prayer. Now, could Jesus had said that he went through the sinner's prayer during his story and then he was justified? Of course he could have. But what it was is the fact that he said, I know I'm a sinner. I am sorrowful for my sin. You can see from his actions here, he says he would not even lift up his eyes to heaven. And he was smoting his chest. He knew he was a sinner and he cried out for God's mercy. This morning, have you ever cried out for God's mercy? I'm not asking you if you have ever prayed a prayer. I'm asking you, have you ever saw yourself as a sinner and felt the conviction of God upon your heart because of your sin? You're separated from God and that you will spend eternity in hell without Jesus Christ and without knowing Jesus Christ. And you saw yourself as a sinner and you cried out to God and said, God, I know I'm a sinner and I need you. Lord, please save me. Have you ever done that? Well, you see the second result. One man was refused by God. The Pharisee, on the other hand, was ignored by the Lord. As I mentioned a few minutes ago, he was just praying to himself. He went home feeling good about himself. He went home sure that he was right with the Lord. Remember what it said in verse number 9. He had trusted in themselves. He didn't listen to what God had said. He didn't listen to God's word. He had not listened to the law. He trusted in themselves. That they were righteous, that they were right with God. He had trusted in what his own feelings were and what he had made up in his own mind. But what did that get him? It got him nothing. He went home feeling good about himself. He was sure he was right with the Lord. But in all reality, he was actually lost in his sins. This parable was told to the Pharisees. Jesus wanted these self-righteous hypocrites to understand that the way up in the eyes of the Lord is being humble. The way to be honored by the Lord is to realize that we are nothing before the Lord. The way to forgiveness is through confession of sins. The way to be right with the Lord is to realize just how wrong we are. Jesus wanted them to know, the Pharisees, because they would spend all that time, they would give all those things, they would spend all those time praying to themselves, thinking they were praying to God, they would spend all that time fasting, they would do all these rituals, and they thought because of these rituals they were going to be right with God, and Jesus sees this, and I can imagine his heart is burdened, and he even weeps over Jerusalem, and he says he would have helped them over and over, but they would never come to him. And you know what? He sees this, and he tells this parable, and it might seem like he's being rude, it might seem like he's being, in a way, mean to the Pharisees, but they were wasting their lives because their hearts were filled with pride, and because they were wasting their lives, God was not hearing their prayers, God was not blessing their life, and he was saying, stop this. Look at how you pray, it's wrong. Look how you look at the Christian life. You think you can be justified by your actions, but only justification comes through the blood of Jesus Christ, what Jesus Christ has done. Jesus wanted to open the eyes of the Pharisees to the truth that people around him needed the Lord. Now, if this Pharisee was so good, if this Pharisee was so much in tune with God, as this Pharisee is standing here, he's praying, and he notices the publican over in the corner, if a man is right with God, wouldn't his heart be burdened for that man? I would think if this man really, truly prayed this much and was so in tune with God and was a religious leader, he saw a publican over there that was a wicked sinner. Wouldn't he want to go over there and say, you know what, God can help you. Let me show you what the word says. Let me help you any way I can. He doesn't do that. What does he do instead? What does it say in verse number 9? Not only did they trust themselves that they were right or that they were righteous, what does it say? They despised others. I think some of the times we get so haughty in our spirit and so prideful, and we don't even know it, that we begin to look down upon others, and we begin to look at people saying, well, look at that. I'm thankful I'm not like that publican, or I'm thankful I'm not like that sinner. And I think we should take the cue from Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit when he says, you know, it's only by the grace of God I am what I am. That we're all sinners and we're all in need of a Savior. And if it wasn't for what God had made the change in my life, I could be the exact same way. Man, what a change God can make. What a difference God. And that's what he's telling the Pharisee. He doesn't use somebody else's name. It's not even a real story. It's an earthly story with a spiritual meaning. He's trying to grab a hold of the heart of the Pharisee. He says, take a look at your life. God does not work with pride. God does not bless pride. God says, I want you to get away from pride. The Bible says that God resisteth the proud. And we come to church, we come to him, we pray to him, we seek him, we ask for his help, we're looking to him, but sometimes I think because of our pride, we are praying with ourselves, guess expecting that God is going to bless. But the Bible doesn't say that God just puts up with the proud. He says God resists the proud and giveth grace, but giveth grace unto the humble. So Christian, if you're here today, I think one of the secrets of prayer is coming to him humbly. I know in my life, I've struggled with pride, especially as a young person. I still struggle with it every single day. My dad is here this morning. He doesn't get to come to church very often with us. And I was talking to him on the phone. He always asked me about what I was going to preach about. I told him I was preaching about this. And he said something to me. I know he was joking with me, but it really spoke to my heart. He said, Brian, I cannot imagine you being humble. The reality is, as a child and as a teenager, I was so full of pride. And I am still full of that pride. I have to fight that every single day. And when I realized that, I should smote myself in the heart and say, God, I'm a sinner. I need your mercy. I need your help. And when I come to him in prayer, I'm coming, yes, in Jesus' name. I'm coming to him because he tells me I can come boldly. But I realize who I am, and I realize what I could be, and I realize that God has given me a job, and he's given me a purpose in living as a Christian. He's given me a the Bible, he's given me prayer, and this Christian life has nothing to do with me and everything to do with him, and I am so dependent upon him. Without him, I can do nothing, and that means I should pray more, and I should come to him humbly and reject the prideful thoughts, reject the prideful moments, reject looking down upon people and saying, I'm thankful I'm not as other men are. I am despise those people, and realize, man, they need God, they need Jesus Christ, and I should pray and do whatever I can to help win people to Christ. Not only does the Bible say that God resisteth the proud, and that's the one thing I don't want. How many times do we have tried to do things and it seems like something's resisting us? I do not want God to resist me. I want God to be in what we're doing. I want God to bless what we're doing. I want God's power to be shown real and true in our lives. And we see God working. We see God moving. We hear from God. And when we pray, we know God hears our prayers and God answers our prayers and God works and God moves. But he says he resists those that are prideful. He resists those that are proud. So in this story, he's telling the Pharisees, stop just praying with yourself. Stop putting your putting all your eggs in the basket of self-righteousness and all the things you've done, and realize you're a sinner and turn to me and beg for mercy. Beg for the grace of God and the power of God. I beseech you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice and say, God, this is my life, but I am giving it to you. You've bought it with a price, and God, I want you to use it in whatever it is you want from me. That's what I'm willing to do. That's the type of prayer that God, I believe, would bless. Not only does the Bible say that he resisteth the proud, he says, the Bible says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16, these six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination to him. In verse 17, a proud look. He hates it. And that's what he's telling this Pharisee. Out of love, he's saying, hey, look, you're wasting all your time with these prayers. You're wasting all your time with this giving. You're wasting all this time with this fasting because you're trusting in yourselves that you are righteous. Recognize that you're a sinner and let the Lord lead and direct your ways. So, Christian, one of the secrets to prayer, one of the secrets to having God answer your prayers and God hearing your prayers, is that we do it with humbleness. Look what it says at the end of verse number 14. It says, for everyone that exalteth himself, if you lift yourself up, it says, shall be abased. They're going to be brought low. Don't let pride ruin your Christian life. But then he says, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. The Bible says, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. We need God's unmerited favor in our lives. We need God's grace. And the Bible says, that's the type of person I can exalt. You say, well, exalt it. That means you might have pride. No, if you go through it God's way, God will lift you up, and it will tell the story that only God can do that in your life. But when you begin to say things like, I fast twice in a week, and I pray three times a day, and I do this, this, and this. God, you should be wrote. God's not being lifted up. You're being lifted up. Last but not least, I feel led to at least just put out a thought here when it comes to salvation. You know, we are not in any way, shape, or form able to earn our salvation. We cannot work our way to heaven. If anybody could, this Pharisee would have done it. But this Pharisee thought he was righteous. He trusted in himself. As I mentioned at the beginning, at the introduction, think about it. There are millions, possibly billions, that went to a place this week, this weekend, maybe within the last 10 days, and they thought they were talking to God. That you can put a denomination name on it. You can put a religious name on it. You can put false cults name on it, whatever. But people went to a spot where they thought they were worshiping God, and they were speaking to God. But the Bible says there is only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ our Lord. I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is religion after religion, person after person, hundred after hundred, thousands after thousands, millions after millions, possibly billions of people who went and approached something this weekend thinking they were talking to God. And they left thinking they were justified. But the Bible says the only way that you're going to get justified and the only way you're truly going to be saved is when you know that you're a sinner. And that sinner, as a sinner, you're separated from God. Your sin is what separated from you, God. And because of your sin, you're lost without Christ, and you need Christ. And the Holy Spirit convicted your heart of your sin and saw that you needed a Savior. And there was a time in your life that you repented of your sins. You had repentance, yes, a change of heart or a change of mind that will lead to a change of action. And said, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know I need a Savior. No longer am I trusting in myself, my own works, or any other religion or any other God. And I'm putting my faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did on that cross. As you notice in that passage of Scripture, he said, God have mercy on me. It's not in some words. It's in faith and believing and trusting in him. This morning, have you ever done that? Have you ever saw yourself as a sinner in need of a Savior and saying, Lord, have mercy on me? Once again, it's not about the words. It's about knowing that you're a sinner and knowing that only God can help. And that only what Jesus Christ did on that cross, when he was buried, when he died on the cross, he was buried and rose again for our salvation. The Bible says if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that we can be saved. Have you ever been saved? Because it doesn't matter how good you feel when you leave this place. Because if you haven't spoken to God, it's not going to make a difference. This morning, do you know him? Do you know him personally? Christians that are in the room, believers, people that have done that, is God resisting your prayer life? There are times when I feel that way. And I must go back and check and say, am I being humble? The Bible says he gives grace. I need God's grace. I do not need God resisting me in my life. To those today that might not know that they're a Christian, might not know that they're saved, let me encourage you. In a minute, we're going to have an invitation. I invite you to come down and come down and we'll have somebody show you from the Bible how you can be saved according to what the Scripture says and on your way to heaven. It's the greatest decision you can ever make. But you have to be like this publican. You say, I'm not that wicked of a sinner. Doesn't matter. The Pharisee would have came the exact same way, recognizing they were a sinner and in need of a Savior. If you recognize that this morning, let us have someone show you how you can know that you're on your way to heaven. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads